How'd you all sleep? Yeah, I always ask my family every time we get one, how'd you sleep last night? So I'm just treating you like I treat my kids, okay? All right. Well, good morning. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your faithfulness to us. Holy Spirit, I just ask that as we bring the word today, that people would be more aware of your love for them than they ever have before. Holy Spirit, we just welcome you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Lord, guide my words. Take control, Holy Spirit. Do what you want to do today in the house. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, I usually don't do this, but, you know, I'm working at being more obedient to the Lord. Not that I'm not obedient, I just sometimes miss it. Rachel, is that Rachel by you? Rachel, this morning during worship, I really felt impressed with the Lord. Now, this doesn't mean the Lord doesn't love all of you, because he does. He's no respecter of person. But Rachel, the Lord wants you to know that he sees you. He sees your effort, and he knows your struggle. And he wants you to know that he loves you. And just keep focusing on him and his love for you. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, with everything you've got. Just love him back and receive the love that he has for you. All right? Okay, so if you want to take that word for yourself, go ahead. God's not stingy. Amen? All right. Well, last week, Pastor David spoke on offense. So if you were not here last week, I would encourage you to get on our website and watch that message because it was really, really good. And so a few of his points were how we are in a war and how offense is one of Satan's main weapons. How many of you know we're in a war? Okay, there's a battle between good and evil. That's what movies are made out of, right? It's a true story. It's just the characters are different. Okay, we have the God of this world, Satan, and all his principalities, powers, and we have the kingdom of God. Okay, and so Satan's main weapons is offense, to get us offended at one another. We come in offended, amen? The world is full of offense. And it is a fact that Satan uses offense as a bait. Okay? Offense is the bait of Satan. And then when we take the bait of offense, we trigger the enemy's trap and become captive. Everybody say captive.
Captive.
To his will. We came in captive. Right? We got saved by Jesus, but there's still some things that are in our minds and our emotions that are holding us captive. And those are the baits and the traps of Satan. And I just want to add to this, bitterness is Satan's wild card. You all know what a wild card is in a deck of cards? It's the Joker. The Joker's wild. The Joker can become any card that you want it to become. Well, bitterness is and can be yielded or wielded in any way that Satan sees fit. It's totally whatever he wants to do. Once you've taken that bait, once you have bitterness, he's going to mess with you in any way that he wants to.
Right.
That should be a concern for us, should it not? And then David quoted John Bevere, if the devil can get you offended, he can keep you defeated. Let me say that again. If the devil can get you offended, and he's really, really good at it, folks, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
He can keep you defeated. I want to talk today about how you can get out of the trap of offense. How you can actually defeat the enemy in your own life. A powerful weapon that God has given you already. It's just you either don't want to use it or don't know how to use it. Amen? A key. It's actually a key that unlocks the door to your healing in your life, mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Amen? So, who wants to be free today? Okay, the rest of you, you're excused. Who wants to be free today and live a victorious life? Alright. Well, as David mentioned last week, to my horror, we have a rat problem. I was sitting back there thinking, oh my gosh, people are going to think we're dirty. We have a rat problem. Well, let me tell you the rest of the story. We did have a rat problem. This was a couple years ago. Actually, our neighborhood had a rat problem because a few houses down, yeah, Chris had it too. And Diane, we all got it. Like, we were seized upon by rats. But what we realized is a few houses down from us, the rats were nesting under arborvitae trees that had overgrown and were to the ground. It was like the perfect nesting area for rats. And so what do rats do? They procreate like crazy. I don't know if they do it as good as rabbits, but I'm telling you, the whole neighborhood was infiltrated. So our property was seized upon by somebody else's problem. Think about that. By somebody else's situation. We were unaware of what was happening, but they were building nests in our yard. They were digging holes in my yard. My dogs were going crazy, and actually, the first time we discovered we might have a rat problem is because my dogs killed a rat. And the remnants were on the patio. But, you know, one rat is one thing. So, really what happened was I went out one night and turned to turn on the barbecue. And as I reached in and opened the door to turn on the barbecue, to my surprise and a little bit of my horror, and guess who? This rat jumped out. I'm like, whoa! And the rat goes, whoa! And like, me being me, I took off after the rat. I'm like, hey, what are you doing here? You. And I went simultaneously, because I'm a multitasker, David! David! We got a rat! We got a rat! Well, that rat got away to die another day. But David went down and got these big traps, about this big. They're called rat traps. I was going to bring one today, but then I thought, maybe not, because I might hurt myself. I was going to try to express to you the trap that Satan gets us in, the rat trap. In this case, we were turning on the vermin. So, that night we set the trap strategically in our barbecue, in the underneath barbecue, because rats feed on scraps of the flesh of the past. Rats feed on the flesh of the past. Old leftovers that are just there. And you don't even realize it. Like, we all kind of clean our barbecue, don't we? But we miss stuff. Amen? So we killed in 1 week, true story, 10 rats. 1 week, 10 rats, right? It was like, oh my gosh. And that wasn't the end. That was just the beginning. And what I realized in that first week is rats come in many sizes. Like this big or this big. And they come in many different colors. There's a light gray, there's speckles, there's black, there's just varying. But a rat is a rat. No matter what it looks like, it's a rat. Amen? Don't you love my rat story? You have been seized upon by a different kind of rat, church. Vermin, everybody say vermin.
Vermin.
Known as offense, unforgiveness, resentment, retaliation, misplaced anger, hatred, judgment, slander, and yeah, at the end of the day, it's called bitterness. You've been sieged upon by vermin. David talked about this last week, Ephesians 6:12. For them, we do not wrestle with flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. They have built their nests in the confines of your heart and built strongholds in your minds for years. When you were out in the They were building it. When you came into the church and got saved, they didn't just go away. God calls us to deal with the stronghold. He calls us to renew our mind according to the Word of God. Yes? Yes. Their objective, the Bourbons' objective, make no mistake, is to kill, steal, and destroy you. To make your life a living hell here on earth. Even as a Christian. Especially as a Christian. To torment you and ultimately destroy you. Your relationship with God, yourself, and others. That is their objective.
Right.
Amen? Yeah. If you didn't know it, you know it now. People are not your problem. According to Scripture, people are not your problem. Principalities, powers, and rulers. Offense, bitterness is your problem. So look to your neighbor and say, you are not my problem. Look to your other neighbor and say, you are not the rat. So I want to talk to you today about how to deal with the vermin. Everybody say vermin. That's a new word. Of unforgiveness and bitterness. We're going to talk today about how to deal with it. Number one, identify the vermin. You have to identify it. David and I couldn't deal with those rats until we were aware that they were there. But they were there long before we were aware. Because there was a bunch of them. And they learned how to feed off of things in my yard. My territory. You know, your heart is your territory. Your mind is your territory. And the enemy is sieging upon your heart and your mind. Because he can. But we're going to tell you today how to get rid of it. Amen? So, my new word, vermin. This is what vermin is. Just in case you're like, vermin. I'm familiar. Vermin. Vermin is a wild, small, annoying animal. Like, you know, a rat. Parasitic worms or insects like lice that are destructive and harmful. They carry disease and are hard to control. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? Kind of. Like, if you had lice, would you just sit around and say, yeah, I got lice, but, you know, God's got it. I don't think so. I like this part, that parasite worms or insects like lice that are destructive and harmful that carry disease. Rats carry disease. And if you break down the word disease, it's dis-ease. What's causing dis-ease in your life? Where do you have unrestfulness? Dis-ease. Or maybe you have actual disease because bitterness causes disease as well. By the way, I invite you to Abundant Life where you can learn more about this in depth. Fridays at 6:30. So here's the thing, if you don't deal with vermin in the natural, if you don't deal with the mice, the rodents, the rats, the lice, the parasites, they'll take over. They will literally take over and destroy the host. They'll suck the life out of a host, or rats will destroy the area. The land. The property. You need to start asking yourself, how do we identify the vermin? Start asking yourself, what is it in me? What is it in me that is making me react this way? We cannot control other people. How many of you realize you cannot control other people? But you can deal with how you react to other people.
Yeah, right.
They can do anything. I've got tested on this yesterday. today. I'm not going to go into the whole story, but I passed the test, amen. And it was a big one. Yeah. I did not return reviling for reviling. I was as kind as I possibly could. Now, did it affect me later? Did I have to go through the process of forgiving her? Yes, because I understand how this thing works. But it wasn't because I was offended. I actually didn't get offended. But it was a demonic attack, and it rattles you sometimes.
Yeah.
So I humbled myself. I forgave her. I asked my husband for prayer. I asked the staff for prayer. Because you know what? Like David said, we cannot always do this thing alone.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to get over yourself. Jesus said, offenses will come. Didn't he?
Yeah.
I like Jesus. I love Jesus because he's my kind of guy. He never pulled punches. He was super nice, but he always told you how it was. Amen.
Amen.
So, offenses are going to come. In other words, you can't stop a bird from flying over your head, can you? But you can stop it from building a nest. I never understood that until, I get it. I get it. You know, you shoo it away. You don't let it do that. Here's the thing. Have you ever been pooped on by a bird?
Yeah.
You can't, right? They really like my car. You can't stop a bird from flying. You can't stop a bird from pooping. But do we leave the poop?
No.
We wash it off. Do we go around like if a bird pooped on your shoulder? I think that's happened to me. A bird pooped. Like, what? What is it? Oh. And I'm like, did I go around and look, a bird pooped on me. Marked, we are sealed. What does that mean? It's like a seal in this day is when They would seal with wax. It was a marker. It was a stamp that you belonged to this camp. You are stamped. You are marked by the kingdom of God, by the Holy Spirit. And there's a certain way that we represent the kingdom. And it is not bitterness, rage, anger, offense, and so on. And if we do that, we have just offended the Holy Spirit. Now, there's a lot of reasons we shouldn't do it, but this one bothers me personally the most. Because God so loved the world. He so loved me. Me in my wretched puke. He loved me back then. He loved me so much that He was willing to bear stripes on His back, be brutally beat, carry a cross on the beaten back, up a hill, allow stakes in His hands, in His feet, and hung to die when He could have got down. But He said, you know, I love that girl. And I'm going to take the penalty of her sin on me. So when I do anything that grieves the Holy Spirit, it really cuts me to the quick. And I just don't want to do it. Does that make sense? So what we also get out of this passage, besides that, which is huge, God is telling us, get rid of all. Everybody say all.
All.
There's a responsibility. God's not going to take it away from you. Quit praying that religious prayer of, God, please take this bitterness away. It does not work like that. He said, get rid of it. You get rid of it. You. Like we had to go after the rats, you've got to go after the bitterness, the resentment, the retaliation, the anger. Oh, but you don't know what they did. I don't know what they did to you, but I know what was done to me. And I still had to forgive. Because I did not want to grieve the Holy Spirit. Because He is honorable and He is believable. And I trusted Him that what He said is true. So get rid of it all. And then, how do we get rid of it? Forgiving each other. Forgiving each other, just as God in Christ forgive you. And if that doesn't drive it home, Colossians 3:13. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord God forgave you. Let me read that again. You don't sound convinced. This is the word of God that's sharper than the double-edged sword, piercing to the very core of you. You need to allow it to do that. Separating bones and marrow. Bear with each other. That means you got to bear with me. I might have offended you, but you got to bear with me. And forgive me. Forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, a grievance, big, middle, or large, you got to forgive. Forgive as the Lord forgave
you.
Here's the truth. When I came to the Lord, I was one of the most anxious, anxiety-ridden, fearful, hateful, bitter, hurt persons you had ever met in your life. I didn't even look the same. That's what people tell me. And I remember the first experience I had with forgiveness. I was being told I needed to forgive the foster parents that abused me, that didn't feed me, and so on and so forth. I understand abandonment. I understand abuse. I understand, you know, your mother picking men over you. I get all that. Listen, you want to share stories, I'll share stories, but my stories have been forgiven. And I am set free. Are you?
Right. Yeah.
But I was on, he was, Bobby, you got to forgive those foster parents. You got to forgive them for what they did to you. You got to, and I'm on the floor. It's a struggle, boy. I understand your struggle. I get the struggle. But because Satan doesn't want you to forgive, he's got you by the neck. And he's doing everything in his power because he knows he's going to lose power over you if you forgive. I'm getting ahead of myself, but we're just rolling with it.
Okay.
And I'm on the floor. And I'm pounding. And I'm pounding. And I'm like, they do not deserve my forgiveness. You don't understand what they did to me. You don't understand how they hurt me. And my father-in-law, who wasn't my father-in-law at the time, but he was my pastor, he said, I understand. But you didn't deserve God's forgiveness either. But he forgave you. And at the end of the day, do any of us deserve forgiveness? Did we deserve Christ's forgiveness? No. But he gave it. He gave it! He gave it to us! So we are to give forgiveness to others according to Scripture. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. So how do you get rid of the vermin? Forgive. Forgiveness. Forgive. Now before we go any further, let me tell you what forgiveness is not, because I know some of you took your wheels and like, forgiveness is not a feeling. Forgiveness is not a feeling. Forgiveness is not a feeling. If you wait to feel like forgiving, you will never forgive. You will be stuck in the pit of unforgiveness and torment. It is not a feeling. It is not saying what the person did to you was okay. It does not justify the wrong done to you. It does not. It does not justify the wrong done to you. Forgiveness does not mean you need to even be in a relationship with them anymore.
Hallelujah.
You just need to forgive them. Hallelujah, sister, because there's just some people you don't need to be in a relationship with, but you still need to forgive them.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you know what? You're towing them right along into your future, and they're affecting you whether you know it or not. Without forgiveness, you cannot get rid of the vermin. Let me say that again. Without forgiveness, you cannot, everybody say cannot, get rid of the vermin. The only way to get rid of demons, and this is what they are, principalities, powers, and rulers, the only way you can get rid of demons is to rectify the legal hold they have on you. Remember, Satan is a legalist. And he seizes every opportunity, every sin that you make, he seizes the opportunity to infiltrate and take up territory.
Yep.
And the only way that we can cancel his legal right by appropriating, everybody say appropriate, the blood of Jesus in the situation is to forgive.
Yeah.
Is to forgive. It cancels the legal right. Forgiveness is the way. Everybody say, forgiveness is the way.
Forgiveness is the way.
You know, in early church, they used to call it the way.
Right.
The way. There's some show that the character, what is that show? Where is it? The way. Anyway, Mandalorian. I'm not into that. My son was in that. I don't know. I don't know if it's a good show or a bad show. But they got the way from the Bible. Forgiveness is the way. Again, forgiveness cancels Satan's legal rights. Or in other words, forgiveness is poison to the vermin.
Yep.
Forgiveness is poison to the vermin. Your vermin of unforgiveness. And so on. You want to know why forgiveness is so hard? I already kind of touched on it. Because Satan fights it. It's a war, remember? We wrestle not with flesh and blood. It's a war. He doesn't want you to forgive. Wrestling in Paul's day wasn't like the wrestling we have today. And, you know, from what I can see, there's two types of wrestling. There's the weird wrestling, and then there's Olympic wrestling. But Olympic wrestling is intense. I mean, those guys are straining. But in Paul's day, I almost had a picture, but I just didn't do it because I didn't know if I should show nudes in church. You know? But there's an actual, in Paul's day, the men wrestled in public naked. And they wrestled to the death. This is what Paul's talking about when he says we wrestle not with flesh and blood. He was referring to the wrestle. Satan is out to kill you, destroy you. He's using offense, bitterness, and all that to do it. And he's going to do it to the death of you, or you're going to forgive to the death of that situation.
Yep.
It's a wrestling match. And it's done. Satan's goal is to humiliate you. In that day, that was to the death, and it was how you could humiliate your opponent the worst. So I can only imagine Satan, if we take that analogy that Paul used, which is a great one, your enemy is out to not only to destroy you, but do it in the most humiliating way he can.
Yeah.
And to bring disgrace to the house of God. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right. When we forgive, we are no longer a product of our past. You know, we bring stuff from our past in. But when we choose to forgive the things that happened to us in the past, we're no longer a product of our past. We actually, in that area, start to become a product of Christ on the cross. The cross is now between me and whatever that person did. Between you and whatever that person did. Does that make sense? That's good news. You all are kind of somber out there, but that's good news. Woohoo! So forgiveness, you need to understand forgiveness. Forgiveness has conditions. There's a way the kingdom works, and there's the way the kingdom does not work. It has conditions. When you go to a different country, it's your job to learn the culture, right?
Right.
We need to learn the culture of the kingdom. We don't just apply, you know, we just don't do what we think we want to do or don't want to do. Like, he's God, is he not? And he calls the shots, and he says, this is how we do it. And we say, yes, sir. And we do the best we can, by the grace of God, to do what he's called us to do. Amen? So forgiveness has, if we look at Matthew 18:21, Peter asked Jesus, Lord, how often shall I forgive my brother's sin against me? Or how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times, which was the law back then. And Jesus said to him, I did not say seven times, but 70 times seven. Listen, you're like, what? We did the math for you. Okay, we did the math. That's 490 times in a single day for a single sin for a single person. That means if you have to forgive a person for one thing they did to you, you need to forgive them 1 minute and 50 seconds of every day until you have reached the point of forgiveness. Let me say that again. We are to forgive every 1 minute and 50 seconds of every day, and that's just for the one person for that offense. That doesn't even count for all the other people that are going to offend you in the day. Yeah! So what's this called? Jesus is just saying we must forgive all sins all the time, no matter what.
No matter what!
No matter what! There's no conditions. He didn't say forgive unless, or forgive if you want to, or forgive if you know. He said forgive! Boom! Drop the mic. Forgive. Forgive all sins. All the time, no matter what. Why? Well, you got to trust that God has your best interest at heart. But why? Because he knows our human weaknesses and understands we are ensnared when we don't. That we are ensnared and legally bound to the enemy when we don't forgive. It's a trap. Remember the bait of Satan. And he will take you down quicker than you care to realize. And maybe you've been in church for a while, you've been saved for a while, but you're struggling with some things, and I'm just telling you, you gotta look for the vermin. Look for those things in your life. How are you reacting to situations? What is it in me that is making me? Holy Spirit, show me my heart. Show me my wicked ways. And lead me in the way everlasting. Forgiveness should become as automatic as breathing and just as important. Forgiveness should become as automatic as breathing for the believer and just as important. Jesus tells us what the kingdom of God is like in Matthew 18, and I'm not going to read it, I'm just going to try to paraphrase it. But he uses a story of a king and his kingdom. And he says, the kingdom of God is like this. A king called one of his servants to him that owed an unpayable debt. Unpayable, like, did you say 200 million? Is that what you said? Anyway, unpayable. Like, I don't know about you, but I can't pay $200 million yet. And hopefully the government's going to figure out what they're doing there. I think they're doing a pretty good job. Okay, sorry. Okay, so, and he called the servant in to settle accounts. And the servant got on his knees and said, Lord, please, please, have mercy on me. I will pay the debt, but the debt was unpayable. But the king was a merciful king, and he gave mercy, and what did he do? He forgave the debt. He canceled it. He let the servant go. No strings attached. But what did the servant do? The servant then went out and found a fellow servant that probably owed him like $20. And the servant did the same thing. Please forgive me. I'll pay you back. I promise. But he didn't forgive him. He threw him in the prison until he could pay it back, which is really kind of ridiculous if you think about it, because you're not going to be able to pay the $20 if you're in prison. But news got back to the king, and he was grieved. He wasn't happy. Daddy was not happy. And he called the servant back, and he says, I hear you did not forgive a fellow servant. How could you do this when I forgave you a much greater debt? I showed you mercy. Why did you not show your fellow man mercy? That's a fair question, is it not? No answer. But you know what happened? He was thrown, that servant was thrown into prison where he was tormented. Listen, I'm going to share another scripture with you. There's conditions on forgiveness. There is conditions. He called him a wicked servant, which is sinful. And then he went on, Jesus went on, this is how my heavenly Father will treat you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Now, what does this mean from the heart? Listen, the thing about church is we know we're supposed to forgive, but not in this church. We try to teach you how to forgive. Forgiveness is not explained how to forgive. How do we forgive? We forgive the person for what they did. And forgiving from the heart is how it made you feel.
Right.
It's not just what they did. We can all, yeah, that happened to me, oh well, no big deal. Well, really, under the surface, in your heart, yeah, it was a big deal. What'd they do? They hurt you, they made you feel abandoned, they made you feel rejected. Now we're really getting down to it. They made you feel worthless. I need to forgive them for making me feel worthless. I need to forgive them for hurting me. I need to forgive them for abandoning me. I had to forgive my mom for always choosing men over me. Right? That's how you do it. We must forgive not only what someone did, but we must. People, you've got to get in touch with your feelings. You've got to know how things affected you. We buried them alive, and I get it. We did it because we didn't know any better. But now you're in the kingdom, and now the kingdom is trying to set you free from your past. And what worked for you in the world will not work for you in the kingdom. So you need to let the old ways go. Unforgiveness is holding someone to a debt, but yet you were forgiven a greater debt. Forgiveness is the process of canceling the debt, releasing the person, and taking power back from Satan. That's what we need to be doing. That's what forgiveness is. And in Matthew 6:12, it says, forgive us our debts, our sins, as we, everybody say as we, or like, we have forgiven our debtors, those who sin against us. So, you know, it kind of goes back to the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Amen. Right.
You need to start forgiving people. You need to start forgiving people. There's no conditions. You forgive. Jesus continues in Matthew 16, or 6:14. For if, everybody say if.
Yeah.
You forgive other people when they sin against you. Your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. That's good news, right?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. But if, everybody say but if, you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. That kind of boomerangs us back to the kingdom of God and what it is like. Now, this is not a salvation issue. This is not saying that you're going to go to hell. What this is saying is God will not forgive you until you forgive in a situation. Does that make sense? So if you're struggling and you've been asking God to forgive you, again, you need to look at yourself and say, what is it in me? Where have I not been forgiving this person in this situation? What is my part in it? Amen? You know, this is good news, because even though I might be stepping on toes, I'm only doing what was done to me, and I am very free today, and I'm a vessel that God can use, and the enemy doesn't want you to be a vessel that God can use. So this is how you get her done, all right? But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. We will be forgiven in the manner we forgive others. If you don't forgive, our debt in the situation is not forgiven. And this is, I really want to make this and then I'm going to move on. Our choice of unforgiveness puts us in bondage to the torment of the memories and pain. Our choice of unforgiveness. God said before us life and death, blessing, cursing, then he said you choose. It's a choice. Okay? I forgot to tell you what forgiveness is. Did I forget to tell you what forgiveness is? I'm going to go back up here. I don't know if I forgot, but I'm going to tell you again because I think I did and I think it's important. I told you what it wasn't. Forgiveness, number one, is power. Forgiveness is power. It's not wimpy. It's power. Forgiveness is a choice, an act of your will. Forgiveness is an act of obedience to God, in that God said forgive. Yes, sir, I need to forgive. Forgiveness is an act of trust in God. I'm trusting that God has my best interest at heart. And forgiveness is the key that sets me free. Now, if I said that before, you just got it again because the Holy Spirit wanted to make sure you got it. So when we choose not to forgive, and it is a choice, remember, forgiveness is a choice, we are aiding and abetting. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
We are allowing what the person did to continue to affect us. We have become part of the problem. I know. But it's important that we see the effects of unforgiveness and that we choose the opposite and forgive. Amen?
Right.
So here at the end of this, here's it's all good news in my opinion. Like, I don't know about you, but I want the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I want to know how to walk and act and be in the kingdom. I want to know how to be victorious. I do, and I've done it, and I'm continuing to do it, and I'm telling you, I lived one way before, and I live one way now, and I'm telling you as a testimony, this way is so much better. So much better. Because God is my vindicator. God takes revenge for me when I don't have to. I don't have to defend myself. All I have to do is forgive. Amen? It's so beautiful. It is so beautiful. But here's point number four. If what I'm telling you seems a little overwhelming, it's not. You've just believed lies.
Right.
Because, according to the Word of God, you are equipped to forgive. You are equipped. Everybody say, I am equipped to forgive. It's like those exterminators. They got their pack of poison. They're going in with their gun. And they're shooting it. They're spraying it. They're equipped. They don't go in empty-handed. Right?
Right.
They go in with power, weapons, tools. Tools. God has given you power. Forgiveness is power. God has given you power. And if you don't believe that, Romans 5:5, God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. How many of you know the Holy Spirit is power? How many of you know greater is He that lives in me, lives in you, than he who is of the world? Philippians, I can do all things. Everybody say all things.
All things.
Through Christ, who what?
Strengthens me.
God never requires something of us that He has not already, everybody say already,
already,
empowered us to do. Let me say that again. God never requires something of us that He has not already empowered us to do. You are empowered by the Holy Spirit. You are empowered by the blood of Jesus. You are empowered by the Word of God. The only thing between you and victory is your decision. Your decision to appropriate, apply what Jesus Christ died for you to have. And wouldn't it be a shame to let that blood go to waste? That's good preaching.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 12:9. God also says, my grace is sufficient for you. And this isn't no wimpy kind of grace. This is God's grace that is empowering power. It's an empowerment. The grace alone. Even if we didn't have the Holy Spirit, which we do. Even if we didn't have the blood of Jesus, which we do. The grace of God alone is enough power to deal with your problem. Because the grace of God is power. Everybody say, grace is power.
Grace is power.
And He said, if God said my grace is sufficient, don't you think we should believe Him? Has God ever lied?
No.
No. What's the problem? You've been believing the liar. You've been believing the word, I can't. It's an accusing spirit because God says contrary to the word. Remember, we're supposed to take every thought captive, cast it down, right? If you're hearing, I can't forgive, you're believing a lie because God says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. I've enabled you. I've equipped you. All you got to do is do it. Now, I'm not saying it's always easy. Sometimes, listen, baby, I've been on my hands and knees grunting it out. But baby, I got it out. It was a wrestling match, and somebody was going to win, and it was going to be me. Somebody was going to win in my yard, and it wasn't going to be the rats. It was going to be me and David and the dogs. They killed some too. We and die. We all had to kill them. Listen, the body of Christ needs to be unified. We were unified as neighbors. We all had a purpose and a unified goal of killing the rats. The Church of Covenant Christian needs to have a unified goal of killing the vermin in your own life. When your sister or brother's talking to you, maybe you should be so bold to say, you know what, brother, I think maybe you need to forgive them. You know what, sister? I'm not part of the solution. Maybe you should go deal with that person.
Yeah.
Maybe you need to forgive them. Let me help you. Let me pray with you. Let's pray together and forgive Susie and Joe and Tom and whoever. Because we can't always do it alone. And if we're not going to hold each other accountable, who will? Ooh, Jesus, it's hot up here. Alright. One of God's names, He has many names, but one of God's names is Yahweh Hest. It literally means Lord of Forgiveness or Lord who forgives. It's God's nature to forgive.
Right.
It is God's nature. And so we need to also see, do you remember that you were a new creation from the moment you accepted Jesus Christ? We became a new creation. We became more like God. We were God's children, right? So what it is by natural descent of God Himself that it is our nature as children of God to forgive. Do you follow me?
Yes.
Quit believing the lie. You know when you believe the lie, you're just acting in your flesh. You're just fleshing out. You're believing the liar instead of God. And He's taking you down the path I promise you do not want to go. So we need to believe, I am a new creation. It is my character. It is my character to forgive. I am a forgiving saint.
Amen.
I am a forgiver. Forgiver and forgiveness is my breastplate. It protects my heart. I wear the helmet of salvation. It tells me what? Who I am and what the blood of Jesus paid for me to have. I'm aware. I'm a child of God. I'm a king's kid. I'm a representative of heaven. And we forgive. That's what we do. And we're empowered to do it. Amen? When Christ forgave us, He agreed to take the consequences of our sin upon Himself. And here's the thing. People, offenses are going to come. People are going to sin against you. You're going to get poop on you. The consequences of other people's sin is going to sometimes hit you. But what did Jesus do? Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We forgive.
Right.
We forgive because it's our character. Because we are empowered. Because we are about getting rid of the vermin.
Right.
In conclusion, it's time to start working at getting rid of the vermin in your life. It's time to start getting rid of the vermin. The unforgiveness, the bitterness. I understand people have hurt you. I am sorry for your pain. But staying in it and ruminating about it all the time is only going to make you worse and not better. It's only going to give more power to the enemy and not to you. You have the power of choice. The power of choice. We must have zero tolerance policy with bitterness. It can't stay. It must go. There's no tolerance. It's got to go. Amen?
Amen.
Forgiveness is the way. Everybody say forgiveness is the way.
Forgiveness is the way.
Forgiveness is power. And it is the key that sets you free.
Yeah.
Don't believe anything else. Forgiveness is power. And it is the key that sets you free.
Amen.
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 Amen. So, thank you. I appreciate that.
Oh, yeah.
So, listen. More than likely, you have bitterness. You have unforgiveness. You have resentment. Maybe as I've been speaking, memories have been popping up. And here's the thing. It could be yesterday or yesteryear. But the memories are alive and well. And God wants you to deal with those. And it's not a one-time prayer. I mean, there's some things that, it's a done deal. One prayer and it's over with. But then there's things, like my example. I'm going to share one more story and then I'm going to invite you to pray because this is how powerful God is. I did forgive those foster parents that day in the office. And I had a deliverance. I mean, I cried harder than I've ever cried before in my life. And it was ugly, and it was snotty, and it was, listen, deliverance and dignity don't go hand in hand. I'm serious. So you kind of need to get over that. Here at Covenant, you have the liberty to cry, squall, bawl, whatever you need to do, whatever the Lord is doing in you, we invite that. But I did forgive them that day, but every time I would see them in public, and this is how wounds of the past affect you. Every time I would see them in public, I was 27, and I would start shaking like that scared little girl. So there was what? Vermin. there was still something in me. And I would avoid them. I was afraid of them. They were monsters to that little girl in me. And then a year went by, and I got pregnant and had babies. This church became my happy place. It became my safe place. And we used to have church on Sunday nights, and that's when we would always have our baptisms. And I love baptisms. I mean, to tell you, I'm going to jump in the pool all over again. But to my horror, I looked across the room, and the monsters were in my happy place.
Glory.
Oh God. What do I do, Lord? I don't know what to do. Why are they here? They were here because somebody they knew was being baptized. Probably. But I'm shaking, and I'm talking to the Lord. And I'm like, what do I do? Lord, because He was my safety. He was my fortress. And we have to always be willing to run to Him all the time. In a moment's notice. Now listen to the end of the story before you check out. He said, Bobby, I want you to go. Okay, go. I want you to reach out your hand. And I want you to thank them. And I'm like, excuse me. What? And he said, don't you remember what they did? And I said, don't you remember what they did? Are you kidding me? And he said, Bobby, I remember the pain. I know what they did. But do you remember it was in their home? They took you to church. You learned about me. When you were 8 is when you accepted me in your heart, and I've been with you ever since. He was showing me the diamond in the dawn. And all of a sudden, in the midst of all the fear, in the midst of all what was left of the pain, I had a revelation of that by the Holy Spirit, and I became thankful. Because I loved God with all my heart, with all my soul, and I was so blessed. And He had delivered me, and I knew He had been with me since I was 8. God didn't want what they did to me to happen. Hurting people hurt people. The enemy uses people. Let's just make sure we're not the one He's using to hurt people. So, I was empowered by the Holy Spirit. Greater is He that lives in me than he was of the world. I stepped out in faith, and I remember the baptism was right there, and right there about by the sound booth. I met them, and I reached out my hand, and I said, I just want to introduce myself. You probably don't remember me. My name is Bobby. It used to be Bobby Olson. I lived in your home for a while. Now, I did not go with any expectations of anything. I was just going out of obedience. I reached out my hand. I said, I just want to thank you because it was in your home that I learned about Jesus, and I accepted Him in my heart as Lord and Savior, and I love Him with all my heart today, and I am blessed. And that was it. And they said a few things. And as I turned to walk away, I literally felt the chains fall off of me. And I haven't feared them since. In fact, I've had compassion for them. Because that's what God does. So whatever the memory, big, small, or in between, the remedy, the power, is forgiveness. So please, if the Holy Spirit... Listen, put your pride down. Sometimes you got to run to the altar. Sometimes you just got to do it afraid, like I had to do. I did it afraid. I was just doing it out of trust. You got to be willing to deal with your stuff. And sometimes, like I said before, you got to be willing to say, yeah, I got stuff. Pray for me. So I'm inviting you. If you need to forgive somebody, and more than likely there's a long list, and that's okay. It's a process. Everybody say process. I'm inviting you up now to come up and give prayer for forgiveness. And I'm just, actually, do I want to make it easy on you? I think I'll make it easy on you. But if you want to come up and get hands laid on you and go the extra mile, we're going to do that today. And I just ask, after we pray this prayer, please be respectful of the ministry that's going on up here. Don't talk. If you want to talk, go out there. Okay? I would encourage you to pray with us in your chairs. This is your family that we're talking about. Amen? So just repeat after me. This is a prayer we teach in Abundant Life. It has four parts to it that are biblical. I'm not going to go into the parts, but they're biblical. Trust me. If you want to ask me about it later, you can. We're going to forgive the person, how it made you feel. We're going to repent, because anytime you're in unforgiveness, you're sinning. You're going to repent for having unforgiveness and bitterness and resentment, retaliation, and so on. Then, after we've done that, and only then, we're going to cancel Satan's power and authority over your life. And we're going to kick the vermin out in that area of your heart. You with me?
Yeah.
So you're going to name the person, and you have to speak this. You have to, you can be a whisperer, but you know what? Listen, you're not as important as you think you are. The person sitting next to you is more focused on them than you. So don't vibe a lie to the enemy. Okay? You have to verbalize it. It can be a whisper, but you do need to verbalize it. You're going to forgive the person, what they did, and then I'm going to give you just a few moments to confess how it made you feel. We're going to forgive them for how it made you feel. Alright? Here we go. Heavenly Father, I purpose and choose to forgive. Name the person, what they did, and how it made you feel. Christian life that Jesus died for me to have. Amen.